NBC Monitor News on the hour. I'm Ted Maynard with word that President Nixon is resting easily this evening. He still has a fever, but is breathing easier and has less chest pain. X-rays earlier today revealed the viral pneumonia congestion in his right lung is clearing, but now appears to have infected his left lung also. Doctors, however, say they aren't alarmed by the spreading, claiming he is responding to treatment, although slowly. Mr. Nixon's personal physician, Walter Tkach, declined to say whether the Watergate scandal contributed to the pneumonia which hospitalized the president Thursday night. The third man at a critical meeting prior to the Watergate break-in is reportedly ready to testify that he isn't sure if then-Attorney General John Mitchell approved or rejected the bugging scheme. Mitchell and Jeb Magruder have sworn to conflicting accounts of that meeting before the Senate Watergate Committee. Magruder said Mitchell approved the plan, while Mitchell said he rejected it. Frederick LaRue was the only other person at the meeting, and it appears he won't be able to settle the matter. Cleveland attorney Chapman Rose has confirmed he discussed the Watergate affair with President Nixon on several occasions. Rose said although he wasn't paid, the visit was professional, and he therefore can't discuss the matter. Rose is a former government official under the Eisenhower administration and a longtime friend of Mr. Nixon's. As new developments in the Watergate affair continue to crop up, NBC correspondent Paul Duke says it appears the committee hearings into the matter will run longer than expected.
The Watergate hearings now seem certain to go on into August, at least for an extra week. The committee's chief lawyer, Sam Dash, believes it's unlikely the panel can adhere to its timetable to wind up the first phase of the hearings on Friday, August 3rd. As a result, the committee has voted to continue the hearings, if necessary, to receive the testimony of all the witnesses Dash regards as essential to the first phase. The big witnesses remaining include Herbert Kalmbach, formerly the president's personal lawyer, Gordon Strawn, a White House aide who worked for the president's number one assistant, H.R. Haldeman, Haldeman himself, and the number two aide, John Ehrlichman. Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
The Senate has amended the bill authorizing the proposed Alaskan pipeline, which comes up for a final vote on Tuesday. The bill would grant right-of-way for the pipeline, and today the Senate exempted small oil companies from price restraints set up under the Economic Stabilization Act. It also set up rules governing tankers carrying the oil from Alaska to the West Coast. Senate Democratic Leader Mike Mansfield today called William Rogers the best Secretary of State during his 36-year career in Washington. Mansfield commented in response to a report Rogers will soon be replaced by Henry Kissinger, adding he hopes the report's not true. Rogers, the White House, and the State Department have all declined to comment on the report. Federal Judge John Fulham has approved petitions by 14 railroads to join in the reorganization of the bankrupt Penn Central, the nation's largest rail carrier. All 14 corporations are controlled either directly or indirectly by the Penn Central. The bankrupt railroads due to begin liquidation October 31st unless massive federal aid isn't received by October 1st. The Viet Cong today charged the South Vietnamese Sheldon area northeast of Saigon, where two Canadian peacekeeping team officers were to be released. The repatriation has been rescheduled for tomorrow. The two officers have been missing since June 28th, when they disappeared on a fact-finding mission in the communist-controlled area some 40 miles northeast of Saigon. Three more Roman Catholic protesters were arrested today when they knelt outside the White House to pray for an end to the bombing in Cambodia. The three were arrested by White House police and charged with unlawful entry, bringing to 25 the number of demonstrators arrested since July 6th. In Cambodia, American warplanes today bombed communist positions north and south of Phnom Penh again. The bombing raids were trying to destroy military hardware left behind by government troops when they retreated under heavy rebel attacks last week. The government evacuation moved the southern defense perimeter to within 10 miles of the Cambodian capital. In Peking, exiled Cambodian Prince Sihanouk is said to have rejected the six-point peace plan of Premier Lon Nol. A boat owned by singer Frank Sinatra caught on fire off the California coast this afternoon and had to be evacuated. A Coast Guard spokesman at Long Beach tells NBC News.
The Coast Guard cutter Point Evans has towed the fire-damaged 85-foot yacht Christina to Catalina Harbor on the west side of Catalina Island. Six persons on board the Christina were rescued by the 45-foot motor sailor Canopus, who was in the area and observed the fire and went to their assistance. It was estimated that damage to the boat was $250,000.
The Coast Guard says Sinatra was not on board the yacht at the time of the fire. Canadian authorities are trying to decide what to do about a bomb sitting on the bottom of Richelieu River near Lake Champlain in Quebec. Nobody knows where the bomb came from or how it will be raised. Divers say it's long and thin, like the kind carried on warplanes. Local residents believe planes flying from a nearby Air Force base may have dropped it accidentally. An East German jet fighter penetrated in West German airspace today in apparent pursuit of a West German private plane which strayed over East German territory. In driving back the light plane, the East German fighter went a little over 9 miles into West Germany. The private plane and its two occupants landed safely. The Hour's lead story, even though the viral pneumonia which hospitalized President Nixon Thursday night has spread into both lungs, doctors say he's resting comfortably this evening, he's breathing easier, and has less chest pain. Ted Maynard, NBC News.
Hi, everyone. This is Alan Ross. Plan now to attend the National Horse Show and Flower Show at the showgrounds honoring Holland. See America's greatest horse show featuring acrobatic riding by the Satellites, Roman riding by the Arena Athena, happy music by the Dutch Treaters Band, 35,000 square feet of flower and garden displays, entertainment for the entire family rated G. For one admission, you see both shows. For reservations, call or come direct to the showgrounds, the Santa Barbara National Horse Show and Flower Show, now through July 21st at the showgrounds.
Daniel from Monitor 73 with a message about a basic human right, the right to read. Even today, there are some boys and girls who don't have any books. They can't read about new things, faraway places, and mind-developing ideas. Most important, they'll never develop a real interest in reading. RIF, R-I-F, RIF, the National Reading is Fundamental program, gives these kids exciting new books for keeps. Find out how you can help write RIF, R-I-F, Smithsonian Institute, Washington, D.C., 20560.
There's a dawn. What's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he wasn't meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky? She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. All the folks round Brownsville say she's crazy, 'cause she walks downtown with a suitcase in her hand, looking for a mysterious dark-haired man. In her younger days they called her Delta Dawn, woman you ever laid eyes on. Then a man of loaded reaches by her side, promised her he'd take her for his bride. That flower you have on, could it be a faded rose from days gone by? He was a-meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky.
That man, anyway, you think he'll ever show up? She's 41 years old, carrying around a suitcase her daddy still calls her baby. That's Helen Reddy with Delta Dawn. Sounds like it might be the plot of a Tennessee Williams play, set to music. Next, Monitor Sports with Joe Gargiola. A look at some of the difficulties faced by a sports official in Italy.
Concetto Lobello has a problem. Concetto Lobello has several problems. Now, I recognize there might be one or two of you out there who never heard of Concetto Lobello, but take my word for it, he's a big man, and he's a big man with problems. He's a member of the Italian Parliament, and he is, by all odds, the most famous member of the Italian Parliament. And when youngsters are brought to the Chamber of Deputies on tours, the one member they ask to have pointed out to them is Concetto Lobello. But it's not his Parliament activity that has brought the problems. It's not even the insurance business that he operates in his hometown of Siracusa in Sicily. Concetto Lobello's problems have come about because he is the top soccer referee in Italy. Now, being the top soccer referee in Italy is not like being the top baseball umpire or football referee in America. You don't reach a point in Italian soccer where you can ever relax and expect that you'll be respected all the time. Last March, Italy's top soccer referee worked a game in Genoa. Genoa lost, and Lobello tried to leave in a taxi, which the Genoa fans promptly turned over, and the police had to rescue him. Lobello's current problems involve a game that he worked in Rome between Lazio, a Roman team, and Milan. Milan was leading the league, and Lazio was second. 3 minutes before the end of the second half, with the home team leading 2-1, Milan scored a goal. It would have tied up the game, except Concetto Lobello disallowed the goal on a technicality. Since the decision favored the home team, he had no crowd problems. The Milan captain had some things to say, and Lobello claimed that he had been gravely insulted. The captain was suspended for 4 Sundays, later reduced to 2 Sundays. But the Milan newspapers really unloaded on Lobello, saying that the Sicilian really hated the city of Milan. The following Sunday, while Lobello was at home, crowds in the stadium in Milan carried signs with messages like, "Death to the last tyrant of Siracusa," and "Lobello, Godfather." You know, I remember when that was a compliment. But anyway, Northern Italy is accusing Concetto Lobello of having an anti-Northern attitude. Meantime, Sicilians say that kind of thinking is racist. And through all this, in Siracusa, Concetto Lobello says, "I have no comment. I consider sports an activity that should unite people, not divide them." Well, I'm afraid that as far as Concetto is concerned, that theory of his is in a little bit of a slump right now. This is Joe Garagiola from Monitor Sports.
Hey, Joe, Concetto Lobello runs a tight ship, huh? Players in less physical danger than the referees over there in Italy. Looks like America's not the only place where people say things like "kill the umpire." Ahead, Dr. Joyce Brothers reinforcing the old theory that opposite personalities do attract. I can dig it. Stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Local swimming pool owners learn to use the most effective means of artificial respiration known. Attend a special 2.5-hour session, including lecture, film, demonstration, and practice with lifelike mannequins. The Santa Barbara County Fire Department is giving free classes on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation every Monday night at the County Fire Station on Stork Road in Goleta. Call to reserve a place in Monday night's class. The number is 964-6807.
Thank you.
How'd you do? Dan Daniel again from Monitor 73 here in New York City. And if the information I have before me is correct, then the mass communications media have even more power than I thought. The word is that since the Watergate hearings first started, a Sam Ervin fan club has been formed in California. And it may even go transatlantic. A visitor from London has proposed starting a London chapter. How about that? Now, you don't have to learn to sing or act to have a fan club. All you have to do is learn to ask embarrassing questions. Maybe you want to have a Watergate Sam Ervin flag, maybe a wagging tongue on a field of raised eyebrows. And while you're filling out your application blanks, let's call on a group known as Wiz for their novelty number about one of my favorite places, Brooklyn.
Shine a light or never get back to Brooklyn. My, my, Brooklyn. Been so long now, I wanna get back to Brooklyn. My, my, Brooklyn, USA. Shine a light or never get back to Brooklyn. My, Brooklyn. It's been so long now, I wanna get back to Brooklyn. My, Brooklyn, USA. She was my baby, until I joined the Navy. I went sailing away, I said I'll come back someday.
Sell a million in Brooklyn alone. I don't know, you folks across the country ever think about it. We here in New York seem to forget about it at times. Brooklyn, of course, is just one of the five boroughs of New York City, but it really is the fifth largest city in the country. It has over 3 million people. Brooklyn, sometimes known as the borough of churches. And speaking of churches and weddings, did you ever wonder why people marry the people they do? According to Dr. Joyce Brothers, these apparent mismatches really aren't so hard to understand after all.
As the engagements are announced, everybody wonders, what does he see in her? He's so brilliant, she's so scatterbrained. Or what does she see in him? She's so sophisticated, he's so stodgy. In the questions lie the answers, said psychoanalyst Theodore Reich. We fall in love with people who have the qualities we haven't and wish we had. In his ideal image of himself, the brilliant scholar sees not only a man of academic accomplishments, but also a playboy and a social lion. In reality, he rarely spends an evening away from his books, and when he does, he's ill at ease and tongue-tied besides. The scatterbrained dumb blonde has no such hang-up. She loves parties and excels in making small talk. Little would anyone guess that she has always harbored a secret envy of intellectuals. So when she first meets the brilliant scholar, she's envious of him, said Dr. Reich. Even hostile, feeling that he'll despise her for the intelligence she doesn't have. And he returns these anti-love feelings. He envies her social ease and begrudges her gaiety. But these things happen in the subconscious. Before anyone can become aware of them, a change occurs. He sees that by possessing her, he can possess the attributes he admires in her and lacks in himself. And she makes the same discovery about him. Envy and hostility are banished, and love takes their place. Love lasts if the image of each that the other has formed isn't too far removed from reality. If the scholar doesn't ask too much, he'll be happily completed by his social butterfly. Making her his own, he'll finally shine socially whenever she does so. Grateful for this, he won't ask her to understand his intellectual strivings as long as she listens to him adoringly. She, on her part, will be happy to do this if her image of her intellectual has not demanded an Einstein. She'll listen to his lectures, ideas, and papers as proudly as if they were her own, which indeed she feels they are now that she's made him her own. And that, said Dr. Reich, is the story of love. It lasts not because two can live as cheaply as one, but because two can live more completely than one. This is Dr. George Brothers for Monitor.
Thank you, Doctor. No matter how well matched a couple seem to be, there's always at least one person who thinks they aren't, and that's a mother-in-law. Now, still on the subject of romance, here's music by Looking Glass, Jimmy Loves Marianne. Subtitle, Marianne Tolerates Jimmy.
Just 17, everything that you think is all there in her eyes. So many years of a poor mama's tears and a day that we lie. There's nobody home. Marianne's alone. Almost fully grown. Wonder why. Jimmy's been down to out and around, and he knows where it's at. Doesn't be good if he thought that it could, but it isn't like that. He don't make mistakes. What he needs to say. Jimmy gets all the break. He knows how.
Something you love.
X.
How to is the title, and it's all about how not to deal with a robot. And this is Tony Taylor telling you how to enjoy it. Just join NBC Radio July 22nd for our next presentation on X minus one.
Thank you. fantastic. That's Deodato, and that is 2001. I don't know if you saw the movie 2001 or not. Richard Strauss's music, of course, is just fantastic, but Deodato, the way he does it. I'm Dan Daniel. More of Monitor 73 upcoming.